Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. This week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to bring back a great guest, Peter Greenlaw. He's the author of Why Diets Are Failing Us, and he wrote a second edition book, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. It's also part of a new movement. It's called The New Health Conversation. It's going to be an exciting topic, and Peter, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much, David.
You know, I got to tell you, last time you were on this show, this segment had a lot of people talking. This second book, the second edition that's come out, why did you feel it necessary to put out a second edition?
Well, we put the first book out more than 2 years ago now, hard to believe that, but there was so much new information that from a scientific standpoint of view, because, you know, I always say, David, that, you know, religion is based on faith and science is based on facts. And I just felt that there was such a, you know, we did so well on the first book that this new information would make it even clearer in people's minds why conventional dieting cannot, does not, will not work in the long run, period. And I just thought that this new scientific evidence would at least give people the ability to examine for themselves and say, oh my gosh, this really does make sense. Because it's not Peter Greenlaw's opinion. This is now evidence that has become more and more prominent over the course of the last couple of years since we wrote the original edition.
You know, it's interesting. One of the key things that you and I spoke about prior to the show was that obviously this is the time of year, January, February, when people are really thinking about you know, what they've done over the holidays. And it's traditionally that time of year where people think about getting healthy. And you're talking about this new health conversation. Talk to me a little bit about what you mean by that.
Well, I call myself a nerdy researcher, and a lot of other people do, I guess, also. But basically, now going on my 13th year, as I began to research things that really were, I would say, way out of the box or way out of the mainstream. And then it wasn't just that I did research and read books, and et cetera. I've flown more than a million miles all over the world and met with some of the top people in genetics, medicine, nutraceutical chemistry, you know, et cetera. And it became apparent that what these men and women were working on was revolutionary, was so new, was completely departing from anything that anyone had ever really thought about or talked about. And when I brought them together in a community, okay, when I began to connect like a nutraceutical chemist with one of the most brilliant doctors in the world, who was one of the fathers of the immune system, they formed sort of this whole new alliance, and we call that the New Health Conversation. All my books, my media appearances, et cetera, are under the New Health Conversation, because that's honestly what it is, David. This is a revolutionary new health conversation that I think we need desperately in 2015 and beyond.
When companies, because we obviously are talking about organizations, look at the cost of healthcare today, even with the Affordable Care Act and all the different things that are happening out there, can you put some numbers behind why this is becoming epidemic portion?
Well, I don't know if you watch 60 Minutes, but one of the big segments was on the fallacy of Obamacare, that hospital costs are exploding. I mean, worse than ever before, because in the Affordable Care Act, there's no cost containment whatsoever. It all sounded real good, and this isn't even a political statement. I'm talking bare bones facts. I have doctor friends that are telling me, as of from December of 2014 to now in January of 2015, they're going to be getting half what they were making before, yet the hospital costs are completely uncontrollable. Well, what's causing this? Okay, well, I'll tell you what's causing it. Right now, as we speak, we have over 70% of America that's overweight. In less than 4.5 years, it's going to be 80%. And David, every single disease statistic is completely blowing up, out of control. Of 3 babies born today, 1 in 3 will develop diabetes, heart attacks, cancer. I don't even have enough time to go through the list of things. Well, obviously, that puts tremendous, tremendous burden on the system. And ironically, it is a system that is based on what? Procedures. We have the best procedures in the world. We have the best cardiologists, the best surgeons. We have the best drugs. We have the best hospitals. But this isn't my take. This is from the head of Medicare and Medicaid from 2 years ago when he said that, listen, the current system is imploding because we're relying so heavily on procedures and we're not relying enough on preventative interventional technologies, which are the core component of the new health conversation. That's why.
So the argument has always been that if you diet and exercise, you can maintain a healthy lifestyle, right? I mean, that's been the argument I've heard for years, and I suspect every doctor that you go to will pretty much say there is no, you know, magic pill. There is no magic mission. You've got to diet and exercise. So what exactly, I mean, we talked about it last time, but what exactly are you saying today is the way to make this work and become healthy?
Well, that's part of the new information in the book. But basically, here's the simplest way to think about it. For a long, long time, the scientists have been saying that if you wanted to live longer and live healthier, you must have caloric reduction accompanied by intermittent fasting. Well, that sounds good, except there's one huge problem. Our food supply has become so nutritionally bankrupt that I think we both would agree an orange is something that's really healthy for us. Well, your grandparents' orange does not resemble anything like an orange today. Today, to equal the nutrition of one orange that our grandparents ate, today you have to eat 9 oranges. So first of all, there's no such thing. Food will never be enough again. So if you think you can eat yourself as well as good luck. Now, some people may say, well, I do organic. Congratulations. But over 200 studies proved, and I talk about this in my book, that organic, from a nutritional density or nutritional content standpoint of view, has absolutely no more nutrition than what you'd buy at Shaw's or any of the stores, you know, that are available across this country. Now, it's cleaner, meaning less herbicides and pesticides, but from a nutritional standpoint of view, a bowl of spinach in 1952 compared to today, they estimate nutritionally, you'd have to eat 42 bowls of spinach. So, David, how in the world can a philosophy of going on a diet and lowering the amount of calories possibly be anything but a disaster, because at the same time you're drastically lowering the nutrients? Then you start to exercise and put more demand on your body for these scarce resources, these very few nutrients that are available. Guess what your body does? It goes in starvation mode and literally causes you to store fat. That's why you see people lose all this weight and they need, you know, $25,000 surgeries to get rid of all the loose skin, because the only thing they've lost is muscle mass. And as far as corporations go, if they're going to begin to bend this cost curve in a positive direction, they better interact with their employees in a preventative, in other words, an offensive strategy, instead of worrying about how are we going to lower the cost when someone has high blood pressure, diabetes, coronary artery disease, whatever it might be. We've got to shift. We've got to recognize that the old system is flawed, broken, and putting more people into a system that already relies on procedures is not the answer.
You're talking about the nutritional levels, if you want to call it, of today's food. What has shifted so dramatically in the last 10, 20, 30 years in the food chain that has made that happen?
Well, it started a long time ago, and lest I forget, so when I'm, let me go back for just a moment, and then I'll come to that point. What I failed to mention is there are new nutritional approaches that focus not on the amount of calories, but what was in the calories. Basically, they've created sort of the atomic energy of nutrition, where you can meet those standards. You can lower your caloric intake, but not lower the amount of nutrients. As a matter of fact, give yourself more nutrients than if you're eating 5 or 10 times more food. So we know, for example, that if we give the body everything it needs, the body simply is going to function better. But now to your point, what has caused this dramatic epidemic decline in the nutritional density of food? Well, it started almost 100 years ago. Less than that even. Let's say in the 1930s, an average acre of land in the Midwest would yield about 40 bushels of corn. By 1960, it was 200 bushels. Then we used herbicides and pesticides, which basically destroyed the soil's ability to break down minerals in particular to be absorbed by the plant. See, this is the biggest fallacy. Then you have soil that's much weaker, and now the wind comes and blows the soil away. We have floods that, you know, pull the soil away. Right now, David, in this country, we're using up, listen to me carefully, we're using up we're losing the topsoil 10 times faster than we're replacing it. There are estimates now that in 80 years, the whole North America would be a dust bowl if we keep going the way we are, because we pretty much have destroyed the soil. And yes, we're getting these huge yields using chemical fertilizers, pesticides, herbicides, but at what cost to nature? At what cost to the soil? See, that's what people don't understand. We're destroying, we have already destroyed the soil, and now it's getting worse and worse and worse. Because imagine, if the soil is so depleted, and you went from yielding 40 bushels of corn on the same acre, now you get 200 bushels of corn, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that you're going to completely devastate and bankrupt the soil of nutrients. That's exactly what's going on. That's why you need 9 apples. That's why you need 42 bowls of spinach, because the soil has been literally devastated over the last 80, 90 years.
When you're talking to people about this, when you're talking to organizations about this, do you see some skepticism in this? I mean, where is the demand, if you want to call it? Is it because it's so hard for people to change? Is that one of the main challenges with getting individuals to take this challenge?
Well, I would say that's definitely it. And look, I was certainly skeptical 11 years ago or over the course of the last 12 years or so that I've been doing this. But as I began to see more and more and more scientific evidence, not from just one scientist, but across the board, it became apparent. You know what I said to myself, David? I said, why is nobody else except for me talking about this? Why do I not ever see anything on television? And right now, you know, there's a plethora of ads on television, radio, newspapers, et cetera, about losing weight. And basically, David, they're all rearranging the deck chair on the Titanic. What are they saying? Reduce your calories, reduce your carbs, exercise. I've never seen any of them address nutritional deficiency, which is the single most important point. Here's the reason why I think it's so difficult. There's a famous saying that says, when the pain to remain the same is greater than the pain to change, then we change. I mean, how many people do we know that were wheeled in the the ER with a heart attack, and then they say, oh, my God, I'm going on a diet tomorrow? So until we're pushed to the brink, we don't make a change. But more and more people are beginning to recognize. And let's face it, diets are awful. They're brutal. They're terrible. I mean, who wants to lose a half a pound or a pound a week? The great news about this, what I talk about in my book, is that we get people getting results in 2, 3, or 4 days that could take you 2 months through conventional exercise and dieting. So what do they have? They have a reason to believe. David, if you noticed in my book some of the before and afters, one of the people in there lost nearly 400 pounds in a little over 2 years. 400 pounds in a little over 2 years with no loose skin. There's one lady in there who was actually turned down on The Biggest Loser, who lost as much weight in half a year as any of their contestants lost in, you know, working out 10 hours a day, whatever they were doing on that television show. So where we've been very successful over the last 12 years is giving people hope based on real evidence that they're able to lose this weight, feel healthy, have more energy, less stress, sleep better at night, and generally just have a whole different quality of life. And David, that's what I teach people. You can have a much, much longer quality of life, depending on what your age is, no matter what your medical challenges may be, but it's real simple. If you give the body everything that used to be, let me emphasize, used to be in food, David, it only makes sense that your body's going to work better. And that is the basic principle. So flood the body with nutrients. Don't flood the body with calories.
We're talking with Peter Greenlaw. He's the author of Why Diets Are Failing Us. This is the second edition. We're also talking about the new health conversation. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan?
I like bronze, like my tan.
Are sunburns covered?
Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group.
Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAKorea.com. And today we are talking with Peter Greenlaw, the author of Why Diets Are Failing Us. This is the second edition book. And, of course, you can go to Amazon or any other book retailer out there and buy it today. Wouldn't you like that, Peter?
I'd love it.
All right, so we're talking about your book, and obviously we're talking about the new health conversation. Chapter 4 of your book, The Introduction of TDOS Syndrome and Solution. I think it's important because this is really the basis for the new book, the information that you're really bringing forward. Talk about what TDOS syndrome is.
Right. Well, the T stands for toxicity. The D stands for what we talked about in the first segment, nutritional deficiency, leading to becoming overweight and stress. And although those four things individually are bad enough, what I realized, and the reason that the U.S. Patent Office gave me a trademark, is that it was the interconnectivity of those four things that led to the limiting or diminished ability of our cells to maximize our wellness potential. And I talked, David, about wellness potential because that's the most significant thing. Now, would it shock you to know that they did a study last year on obese children? These were obese children. And many of those children were suffering from rickets and scurvy, which are diseases of malnutrition. Now, it wasn't because they weren't getting enough calories. It was because they weren't getting enough nutrients. And what happens is toxicity, toxins, are allowed to run wild in the body because of nutritional deficiency, because the body has the ability to get rid of toxins if it has sufficient nutrients. Now, why is toxicity so bad, and where does it come from? Well, it's in the water, it's in the air, it's in the food, it's in our carpets, our shampoos, our dry cleaning. And what we now know scientifically is these toxins enter the body from all of those sources that we can't avoid or get away from. The body, David, literally takes the toxin and stuffs it inside of a fat cell, and those have a name. They're called obesogens, and no amount of exercise, remember on the last segment, exercise, and no amount of conventional dieting will get rid of them. So the body continues to accumulate. Now, I'll tell you how horrific it is. 4 years ago, the American Red Cross did a study on newborn infants, and they found that every single baby they tested, this was in their cord blood at birth. They had an average of 287 toxic chemicals in their blood at birth, including mercury, iodine, herbicides, pesticides, many household cleaners. I mean, it was just horrific. This was every single baby. And the reason that you're seeing America exploding, blowing up, out of control, is because no amount of exercise. You could run from Portland to New York City, let's assume it was summer, not cold like it is today, as you told me, you would lose absolutely no toxins in sweat. So it's not something you go to the gym and you're going to get rid of these. And the problem is that even I work with a lot of athletes, and they'll end up with 4, 5, or 6 pounds around their middle. They might do 1,000 crunches, and it never goes away. Why? Because the body is protecting them by storing the chemicals in these fat cells. Then, when you have nutritional deficiency or the absence of very specific nutrients that are naturally capable of pulling the toxins apart, you now have toxicity and deficiency teaming up to do what? Causing us to gain weight as a natural evolution in human beings to protect us from these toxins. Well, guess what? You put those three together, guess what your body does? Your stress levels go through the moon before we ever got up and dealt with finances or significant others or the snowstorm today or whatever it might be. And so the TDO syndrome is this interconnectivity between the toxicity being fueled by the deficiency, causing us to gain weight, and raising our stress. Now, let's say, David, that we have some people on the phone that are runners or they're in really good shape and they're thin. Well, a huge study a couple years ago said just because you're thin doesn't mean you're healthy. Every single person, thin or not, have these, they look like halos around all of our internal organs called the body's toxic burden, where this fat is encompassing heart, kidney, liver, breast tissue, prostate in men, et cetera, loaded with these chemicals. And see, because the body doesn't know what to do with them, it's storing them in these. And we're becoming these huge repositories of all of these toxins. That's why the keto syndrome, that's why the book was rewritten to include the keto syndrome, because of the fact that it was something that no one had recognized before, not even myself. And when the epiphany came together, and I've written the book with, you'll notice, Dr. Nicholas Messina. I mean, all my books I've written with medical doctors. And he went, oh, my gosh, Peter, this is so significant. I think they're going to be teaching it in medical school in a couple of years. So this isn't, again, it's not my opinion. And now I've got, you know, such a wide acceptance with other doctors and people that said, oh, my gosh, this is a real syndrome. So a patient comes into the office and, you know, they're looking for solutions. Well, they better start looking at the fundamentals, which would be the keto syndrome.
You note in your book, again, on page 31, chapter 4, that the TDOS syndrome is not a disease, and thus the TDOS solution is no way in a cure for any disease or illness. I think that's important because people might just say, well, I'll go to the doctor and I'll say, hey, I must have TDOS syndrome. How do you fix me?
Right. Yeah, it certainly is not a disease. It's just a collection of cofactors. Nor is, like you've heard of, metabolic syndrome, okay? Well, metabolic syndrome is a combination of cofactors that may lead to, you know, certain conditions in the body. But certainly we know that if you could do everything possible to get rid of toxicity, if you turn deficiency into abundance, then after 12 years now, we've proven the weight goes down rather dramatically and also stress levels drop. So it's just that those conditions chronically undealt with, let's say, it's not treated but undealt with in terms of not recognizing that you do need to do nutritional fasting, and although that sounds like an oxymoron, what that means is to do a fast, you have to go down to almost zero calories. And David, today, if you wanted to detox your body, all you'd have to do is stop eating for 4 hours. But at the end of about 5, 6, 7 hours, you'd really start to feel crummy. You could have flu-like symptoms because your body would be naturally releasing toxins that are stored in those fat cells. But because you don't have the nutrients, you couldn't break them apart, make them water-soluble, so then they can naturally pass on to the kidney and the liver. See, this, the TDOS syndrome is a collection of these cofactors, but when you realize that they're working together, we should be doing everything possible to sort of disarm toxicity, you know, have really nutrition-dense food, which will help us to lower weight through. And see, that in that case, if you're doing that, then exercise can assist in helping us to lose that weight even more effectively. But, of course, the number one killer is stress. It's been proven it leads to, you know, 60, 70 diseases. So by not having stress in your life because you are not even aware that the keto syndrome exists is probably a really good strategy, although it's, you know, this is not a disease and we're not curing diseases. We don't do that. We simply are pointing out that these cofactors need to be dealt with.
We're going to be talking about in the next segment about some of the solutions for this. But one of the things I did want to make sure that you clarify to the audience, you're not saying don't exercise.
Oh, my gosh, no. I exercise. I have a personal trainer. It's wonderful. But all the studies have said that if you think you're going to use exercise as a strategy to lose weight, think again. Exercise is a great way to maintain whatever you've gained. Okay? Because here's the problem. Even in an hour exercise, you're going to burn up like 400 calories. And many people mistakenly think, okay, well, then I can go out and have, you know, a cup of coffee with sugar or tea, or have a, you know, have that muffin or have a bagel or something like that. And the point is that, you know, the 400 calories comes back on in a heartbeat. I mean, it's great for cardiovascular, but it's been proven now long term, unless you can work out 5, 6, 7 hours a day and then get sufficient nutrition, that you're not going to use it as a weight loss thing, even though temporarily you might lose a couple pounds, you end up gaining it all back and more. That's the frustration of people going to the gym day after day after day after day, and they don't see their weight come down.
You know, it's interesting. One of the things that has been out in the news a lot is about sugar. And while, as I said, You address toxins. Sugar has been an issue that is getting a lot of media attention. What's your take on that part of the toxin area?
Well, be very careful here. This one, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. When we talk about sugar, here's the insidious part of it. The body needs about 4 grams of sugar every 3 to 4 hours for the brain. But it's the type and the kind of sugar that's the problem. High fructose corn syrup, which comes, you know, from corn, the problem with it takes 10 times as much of that to satisfy that 4 grams. So in other words, in order to have 4 grams of real sugar, you need about, you know, 40 grams of high fructose corn syrup. See, cane sugar or natural sugar is actually something that we actually need. But again, David, everything in moderation. But it's not just, see, people think it's the physical sugar. It's carbohydrates. It's the bagels. It's the muffins. It's the bread. It's all of these, you know, all of these things. See, I laugh all the time. You'll see enriched, you know, bread or flour or whatever it is. Okay, well, in the process of, like, bleaching bread, they basically get rid of all the nutrients, 21 nutrients. And the enriched, when you understand what they're doing, they're putting 7 back in. So you've exchanged 21 good nutrients for 7. I mean, can you understand why that leads to nutritional deficiency? But this is across the board. It's not just bread and muffins and whatever. So we just keep inundating our bodies. Why are we consuming so much sugar? There was a big study in a book that came out last year called Salt, Sugar, and Fat, David, and they proved that certain combinations of salt, sugar, and fat caused a response in our brain which caused pleasure, but never enough to fill us up. And so they took children and adults and did brain scans on them and saw, as they get in different combinations of salt, sugar, and fat, the brain would light up. In other words, they could determine, okay, we want, and they called it the bliss, B-L-I-S-S, bliss point, the point at which you're excited about food but not full. Well, the model that they used to determine this were cocaine addicts, because sugar does exactly the same thing in the brain as cocaine. There's your reason why sugar is not so great.
You know, it's interesting.
Is that amazing?
I've actually seen some of that research, and it is a very interesting study. And certainly there are pros and cons to every study, as you know. But the reality is that it is a compelling argument, and certainly one that I think people are more and more becoming aware of. So when we're talking about this syndrome, the TDOS mm-hmm. syndrome, what is it that people need to take away from this in terms of what they need to think about and say, okay, this might be me?
Well, that's a great question. Here's what I would say. When people ask me, like on airplanes, which I'm on very frequently, you know, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I really have an unusual job. My only job is, David, to make you aware of what's available, both the problem, which would be the Tito syndrome. So awareness becomes a huge, huge underlying principle behind the new health conversation, but not just to show you the problem, but to show you solutions to deal with this problem. See, that's the bigger thing. The frustration that I have in many of the books that have been written and the documentaries, they point out this problem, but they really leave you hanging with no solution other than, you know, lower your carbs, calories, exercise, etc. Well, that might have worked 100 years ago, but when you have something like the Tito syndrome, the very first thing you have to do is become aware of it. Let me give you a really dramatic example. Let's assume it's summer, spring's coming soon, even in Maine, and let's say you had a wood deck, Dave, and you run across that wood deck and you get 4 splinters in the bottom of your foot. What would be the first thing you'd want to do if you have 4 splinters in your foot?
Take them out.
No. That's what everybody says. No. How in the world can you take them out if you haven't even identified where are the splinters?
Oh, that's true. Yes. Well, I'm pretty sure the pain would tell me where they are, but that's okay.
Okay, but still, let's locate them first.
Right.
Then if I take out 1 splinter, does your foot still hurt?
Of course.
If I take out 2, 3, isn't it unless until I take out all 4 splinters that the pain actually goes away? Well, it's the same thing with the Tito syndrome. First, you have to become aware that the Tito syndrome is out there. It applies. There's no escape here. If it's starting with newborn infants, all of us are impacted in some way by the Tito syndrome. Well, once we identify that we have the Tito syndrome, then and only then can we begin to develop strategies to deal with each of those components and basically disarm this syndrome.
We're talking to Peter Greenlar. He's the author of Why Diets Are Failing Us. We're talking about his second edition book, and we will be right back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB. Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan?
I like bronze, like my tan.
Are sunburns covered? Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group.
Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
If you'd like to be a guest on the HR Power Hour or be a show sponsor, send David an email today at info@hrpowerhour.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com. And today we're talking with the one, the only, Peter Greenlar, and we are talking about his book, Why Diets Are Failing Us. Of course, this is the second edition, and really because we're talking about the new health conversation. Peter, again, I want to thank you for being on the show. I think it's very appropriate that we're talking about this at this time of year. Of course, January and February, people are thinking about how to be healthier. And you know, you introduced this new TDOS syndrome. Now let's talk about the solutions that are going to be happening to this. So tell me what your research has shown as what absolutely is the first step. Let's start with the first step that people should take once we've identified we have this syndrome.
Well, the very first step would be awareness before you do anything else. So, for example, this is your choice, but this is the science. I'm not. You can make your own decision, okay? Tap water contains between 300 and 500 toxic chemicals in any drinking water supply, whether it be Portland, Augusta, Boston, New York, Miami, Florida, Phoenix, Arizona, where I am currently. It doesn't matter. And those include mercury, iodine, arsenic, pesticides, herbicides, all these chemicals that are being flushed into the water supply that the water treatment plants were never equipped with. But in addition, David, this is what's horrifying. They also contained at least trace amounts of Prozac, Zoloft, Lipitor, Wellbutrin, and even things like birth control pills. I mean, I simply don't ever, I don't drink tap water anymore. I haven't drank it for years once I, you know, at least a decade. Once I saw the research on what was in it, I figured, well, it would just be a good thing to avoid that stuff. So awareness also. I can tell you this. This is a shocking statistic that most people don't know. 80%, 80, of all antibiotics given in North America are given to animals. So chickens, cows, pigs, turkeys, which we just had, ham, you name it, loaded with antibiotics. And, of course, we eat whatever they eat. This is one of the reasons why you're seeing some of these new bacterial infections, things like MRSA, that have become almost completely resistant to antibiotics. So we've got ourselves in a real pickle now. So, again, I obviously would avoid anything that's been injected with an antibiotic, with a growth hormone, and I simply, at every chance I get, I would eat meat that's been fed grass, not corn. Let me repeat that. Eating meat that's been fed grass, not corn. So those are really simple things that you can do from the avoidance side if and only if you're aware that that's what you should be doing in the first place. So that awareness thing becomes a huge, huge first step. Now, do I...
Peter, if I could just... One of the things I'd like to clarify, you're talking about the water. What is the alternative? Bottled water? Or what exactly is the alternative in terms of water solution?
Well, there's obviously a lot of controversy around bottled water, around the plastic, but it's primarily because a lot of the sort of mass-produced waters are in very, very cheap plastic containers, and there's a worry that there's leaching of the plastic into the water, and I agree with that. But you want to get, actually, the purest water you can drink, believe it or not, is distilled water. But the problem with distilled, it would, if you don't have a great mineral source, which is one of the primary reasons also why food is so nutritionally deficient, it can pull it out of your body. But there are, and I don't sell these, David, I'm going to just tell you the ones that I drink when I'm on the road, either Fiji water or one called Smart, S-M-A-R-T water, or obviously you want to get a reverse osmosis system at home that would remove, you know, most of these contaminants that we're drinking. But the choice for me is not, I just don't drink tap water. Even though bottled water may not be, you know, 100% perfect, it's just a lot better than, water out of the tap.
Okay, just wanted to clarify, because obviously you'd mentioned it, I think.
But see,
that
would be a solution, right?
Right, it would be.
One of the
yes.
solutions would be, you know, just avoid tap water whenever you can. Avoid antibiotics, hormones, and eat grass-fed animals if you're going to consume animal protein.
So that's the way you start, awareness. You start eliminating some of the products that we know have issues and concerns. So once we've taken and we've eliminated all that, and we're pretty much eating the twigs and berries off a tree. I'm just kidding. Because that's about, and we have our mouth open waiting for the rainwater to fall. It's a fun show. We got to have some fun here, Peter. Mm-hmm. It's all not doom and gloom out there. I want to make sure people are aware of that. It's all not doom and gloom.
The solution is about hope.
That's right. Exactly correct. So where do you go from there? Now that you've eliminated some, what are some of the ways to get the nutritions, the way to bring back your body into, you know, where it naturally needs for nutritional value?
Well, the single most important nutrient that we're missing in great quantities of basically are the minerals that are part of nature, that are part of the world, that are part of the universe. And you've all heard of iron and calcium, magnesium. Okay, those are great, but we need what are called trace minerals, and those are things like molybdenum and boron and selenium, but also, believe it or not, gold and silver and zinc and copper and magnesium. There are about 70, David. If you were going to be optimally healthy, you'd want 70. In the best organic foods you can find, it's been tested, you're going to have 10 to 12 of the 70 minerals that you need. So one of the very first things you can do is go and find, you can find them, they're difficult to search out. There are mineral supplements that contain all 70 of this, what I call mineral suites, meaning the totality of all 70. That is one of the most significant, simple changes that you could make starting today, okay? It may take you a little while to run them down, but for more than 35 years, there were discoveries made of certain deposits. There's about three or four in the whole world, unfortunately, where this whole array of these 70 was still intact from, 100 million years ago, whatever it might be. That, David, is probably one of the most significant things that people could do, would be to add to their diet on a regular basis these 70 minerals or the mineral suites. And I talk about this in my book and actually give people a formula for how to put all of this stuff together. And that's one of the best things you could possibly do.
Now, is it as simple as going down to your local, CVS, Rite Aid, or something like that, and getting a multi-mineral vitamin or a multi,
A multivitamin, you'll be lucky if it has six or eight.
Yeah, that's what I figured the answer was. So that's why I asked the question.
Yep.
So where do they find these, these very high potency mineral solutions to make sure that they get what they really need. You're talking about a lot. I mean, the body hasn't seen probably all this coming in quite a while.
Right, and that's why we can trace the elimination of minerals, which goes back, believe it or not, to a Senate report saying that 99% of the American people are deficient in these minerals. It's in my book. I state the study, right? Well, David, that study about the 99% mineral deficiency was done in 1936. So do you think it's any better today? So you're right.
I suspect not, no.
Right. And so what we see is this enormous explosion. Now, here's the point. This is why it is possible, okay, to do caloric reduction, which is the road to what? Living healthier longer, with intermittent nutritional fasting. See, it's never had anything to do with the amount of calories, David. It's always had to do with what was in the calories. So again, it is possible, and I talk about it in my book, about this protocol. I call it nutritional fasting, where you can go for, let's say, 5 or 6 days with caloric reduction, and then you do 48 hours of what I call a nutritional fast, which I explain in detail in my book. But essentially what you're doing, you're setting the body up to naturally detoxify itself. And, of course, as you detoxify the body, what happens? The excess fat in which the chemicals are stored is getting used up. So it's a protocol. It's an approach. It's a way to do it, assuming, this is the big assumption, that you have the nutritional density necessary to allow your body to naturally detox itself, which is this, that's 70 or 75% of any solution, plural solutions. You can also do things, David, like sit in an infrared sauna, not a regular sauna, infrared. And those have been proven to help the body get rid of heavy metals and things like that. There are things like drinking very, very high pH water. There's a company, again, I don't sell it, I have nothing to do with it, called Phenomenal, just like it sounds, Phenomenal Water, where they can give you, you can take a few drops of this solution, you put it in regular water, hopefully not tap water, and it will change the pH of the water from about 7.0 to about 10. And see, the higher the pH we have in our body, the healthier we are. For example, there's not a cancer patient ever that didn't have very, very low pH, maybe like 6 versus 7, and you probably want to be 8, 9, or 10 if you're going to be at maximum health. So that's another very, very important thing that people could do. And, of course, what they put in their mouth is the most significant thing, or lack thereof, especially when it comes to nutritional density, if that makes sense.
It does, and we're talking with Peter Greenlaw. He is the author of Why Diets Are Failing Us. This is his second edition book. We're on the HR Power Hour, and you're listening to us live on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And we are talking with Peter Greenlaw, the author of Why Diets Are Failing Us. This is his second edition book. Peter, again, thank you for being on the show. You wrote this book with a couple of other people. You mentioned it a little bit earlier, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to just talk about who you wrote the book with.
Why Diets Are Failing Us was written with Dr. Dennis Harper, and the Tito syndrome, shameless plug for me, the new book will be out in about 20 days as we're recording this show today, and that was written with Dr. Nicholas Messina. As I said, all of my books have been written with medical doctors. I'm actually working on a third book right now. I like dealing with doctors because they're so skeptical, sort of like you, David, only even worse, okay? And so when I'm able to bring them around, or they see the evidence and they come around at their own sort of epiphany, it's a very, very powerful thing, so that the reader knows that this isn't just some theory by some, you know, who's Peter Greenlaw kind of thing. This is backed up by solid, solid medical science and evidence. And they're willing to put their name on the book and their reputations on the book because they believe so much in the principles that together we've uncovered and we're bringing forth to the world.
Well, we're talking about why diets are failing us, this new health conversation. In the book, you talk about, and at the end of it, you provide not only information that is specific, but it also talks about some recipes, some protocols. Talk a little bit about why you put those type of solutions at the end.
Well, as we said in the earlier segment, one of the things that's frustrated me about so many of these, whether they're diet books or how to be healthy or whatever, they really, I think, do a good job of maybe pointing out the problem. I've always felt that they really left the reader or the listener really, really shorthanded in terms of real solid solutions. Like when you put the book down, you can go out and actually have a solution that you can apply like this afternoon if you choose to. And so what we wanted to do was we wanted to specifically give people protocols, in other words, multiple approaches that not just dealt with one part of it, like let's say how to lose weight, although the name would almost imply that. No, we really, in the second edition, we wanted to give you approaches that would be multifaceted to deal with what? The Tito syndrome, toxicity, deficiency, being overweight, and stress. And those required multiple protocols, things like we teach you literally, David, even in the middle of winter, how to grow sprouts in your kitchen at home, even if it's 10 below zero outside. So you can have this very rich source of nutrients for next to nothing, I mean, almost free. We talk about eating raw and why that's so important as far as vegetables go, not as far as meat goes, but multiple solutions, and introduce you to revolutionary new technologies that are emerging that are dealing with everything from like the flu to cold to whatever by people that are brilliant, you know, medical doctors, PhDs, et cetera, et cetera. So this book is very, very comprehensive, not just in pointing out the problem of what diets are failing us, but more importantly, and I would say most importantly, to give you multiple solutions. That's why the recipes are in there. That's why the approaches are in there. They can actually go to petergreenlaw.com. We have advisors that can even advise you because one size doesn't fit all. Or I give you the actual recipe of what you can put together, not just the diet, but components like the minerals and things like that that you can go and put together yourself, or we can assist you with that if you choose. It's up to you. But we're giving you multiple solutions because it's a multifaceted problem, be it the Tito syndrome.
You know, you've provided not only an update to this great book that you've written, but also a lot more solutions that people can think about and ways to actually make their changes in their lives. I'm sure you get a lot of people that come up to you and thank you and have seen, what if you want to call it, the light in what they're looking to do. Can you tell us, as we wrap up here, a good story maybe about how it's changed somebody's life directly?
Well, I guess closest to home, my youngest son suffers from severe concentration problems, to the point where he was on several different medications 11 years ago, and I put him on this protocol, and he had struggled, honestly, from the time he was probably 4 or 5 years of age, did horrible in school, couldn't pay attention, was disruptive, and we just couldn't figure it out, and taking him to counselors and psychiatrists and medical doctors and whatever, and he went on this protocol hard to believe, almost 12 years ago. And literally in 5 days, he came to me and said, "Daddy, I don't know what's in this stuff, but I feel better than I haven't felt this good since I was 3 or 4 years old." So, see, to me, that's why I'm saying it's so much more than he didn't need to lose weight. He was at the point where he did that. He was an all-state basketball player in incredible shape. But he really struggled. And then we found out later that nutritional deficiency in many of our kids today that are struggling with concentration and problems in school can be helped. You know, I mean, we're not curing anything. We're just giving the body what you're not getting from food. And he was a kid that really the only thing he ever ate was cereal in the morning with 3 scoops of sugar on it and would drink a huge, you know, soda on the way to school. Well, I would say this, honestly. He probably hasn't had a soda in 12 years, not because he went on a diet, because once he started to feel better, he lost his cravings for it. Remember, we talked about sugar in the earlier segment.
Yeah.
So there was a practical, in my own house, in front of me, situation that obviously really drives me. We've been able to help so many parents. One of my good friends is Dr. John Gray, wrote the book Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And I just wrote the foreword in his new book called Staying Focused in a Hyper World. And so that, to me, is a greater contribution. Look, losing weight is just a side benefit of this. It's going to happen if you do it, but that's not the reason to do it. The reason to do it is to give you the possibility to live healthier longer. That's it. That's the most, you talk in closing, David, that would be my greatest gift to anyone that reads my book, comes to my lectures, watches my television shows, hear these radio interviews. That would be my goal, to impact people and be part of the new health conversation, which we believe is going to change the world.
Peter, it has been wonderful to have you on the show today. Again, we've been talking with Peter Greenlaw. He's the author of Why Diets Are Failing Us, second edition book. It's brand new. The research has revealed on why diets are failing us. Again, Peter, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate you.
Thank you, David.
And now the HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group. Licensed agents in 28 states, business, commercial, and personal. Go to northerninsurancegroup.com. According to calchamber.com, 5 of the top things employers do to get sued are: 1. Classify all employees as exempt, whether they are or not. 2. Be too nice to employees. For example, let them take lunch whenever they want to. 3. Make everyone an independent contractor, because having employees is too much trouble. 4. Don't bother providing training about harassment and discrimination to managers and supervisors. They won't need that information. And 5. Let employees decide which hours and how many hours they want to work each day. Heck, they know what they're doing. Don't let these happen to you. And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group at northerninsurancegroup.com. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be speaking with Stephen Tenney. He is the Senior Vice President of UBS for Wealth Management and part of the Family Wealth Management Partners Group. We are going to be talking about a study that they have done in regards to multi-generational businesses. They spoke to 17 third-generational business owners and have combined this information, and the results are astounding. Look forward to talking with you on the next HR Power Hour to hear about this great topic. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.